Before we leave Greece, Mr. Bland, Reel 13. Mr. Bland, Reel 13. Before we leave Greece, did you ever see any of the Elas people who were rounded up on the streets by British troops and by your own battalion?
No, I didn't actually see any of them rounded up. Like, whether they were just left to drift into there. No.
Right, so you left Greece and arrived back in Italy. Do you remember what date that was?
April 1945, when we left Greece to return to Italy. And,
what happened to you when you know after you landed back in Italy? Did you go straight to the line?
No, well, we landed at, right down Taranto. In the south of Italy, like, and then I can remember moving up the next day to a place called Foggia, and I don't know whether it was there we picked up transport or whether we just carried on into Naples. I think we carried on into Naples and picked transport up there, like. And then this was just happening in days, like, you know, we were on the travel all the time, like, we knew that we were heading north, like, you know. And that was, we just headed up there, I think it was from there up there, but just south of Perugia, like.
And then, of course, you heard that the war in Europe had ended.
We were up, like, and those two of us went into reaming workshops. That's where I was on VE night. Two of us went into Rainy Workshops to get their flame clothes fitted on the carriers. So I can remember, I wasn't with our company, like, where I was, we were really ropes, like, you know, and they were having a good time with us.
Do you remember what happened on VE night or VE day?
Oh, VE, it was VE night, like, you know, there was fireworks and everything going up, like, you know, that was, everybody was in there, you know. I can remember it well, like, again, I wasn't going to be coming, like, I was going to be swimming for folks, like, which the treated us well, like, and, but we were only there 2 days. We got flame throws fitted on, like, went back to the battalion, like, you know, went back to our company, and, then it was on, we were on our way again.
Can we just talk a few minutes about the flamethrowers that you put on your carrier? How was that done?
The flamethrower, there was a big tank on the back, I know. I don't know how many gallons it held, like, whether it was 70 or 120 gallons, but it was a big steel drum on the back of the carrier, like, and then there was a big, like, a big pipe running from the back. Right through the one side of the carrier, like, the passenger side of the carrier, like, and then there was just this little, like, what pointed out through this, like, way aperture. Went off the kidded, like, left and centre, like, you know, like,
Had it been in action, it would have been a bit of a dangerous.
Oh, I was, I don't think I would have gotten into action, because we had loads of trouble, me and this other chap, like, moving up, like, when we moved up, like, we were on the move all the time, we moved straight up, and we crossed the border into Austria, at a place called Udine.
Again, just to very briefly finish with the flamethrowers, they were built so that the flame shot forward ahead of the carrier.
Oh, yes, aye.
What kind?
The wasn't actually used. I never seen it used. I mean, there wasn't even the stuff in the tank itself, like, you know, was just come at the last minute and just come at the best time, like, you know, for me, like, you know, for the.
So you moved up into Austria, you say. What are your memories of that, moving forward?
Oh, it was, we moved forward and we were passing troops, German troops, on the way, like, you know, yeah, as we were moving up, they were marching back to where they were, like, where they were going, I don't know what it is. But,
what state were they in? What condition?
Oh, they were down in the dumps, like, sort of style, like, but we tried to help them as much as we could, like, you know, they used to stop us for water. If we had out anything deep, like, you know, if any service, like, oh, they were.
They were just left to walk on, you weren't rounding them up or anything.
Sometimes you saw, like, an officer on horse, horseback, like, and his troops, like columns of troops behind him, like, you know, and just used to wave, like, and we would just, like, went straight through them, like, you know, but was,
did they appear that they were pleased it was over?
Oh, I think they were pleased, they were giving a little wave, like, you know, but I think they were pleased it was all over, like.
What had happened with their equipment? Were they carrying guns and weapons and other things?
They just carried their small arms, like, I don't know, they weren't carrying any heavy stuff, like, just, I kind of remember them carrying arms, like, they're being chucked in one night, like, you know, and left, like.
Yes, it would seem that carrying arms, particularly if they were loaded, would be a bit dangerous.
They were just like a defeated army, you know, as you went through them, they were like refugees, like, you know, you went right straight through them, like, you know.
Was there a lot of equipment and material lying around the countryside as you went through?
Oh, there was quite a bit, like tanks and that, but, of course, let's just say the light tanks, like, you know, all these heavy stuff would have been pulled back, like, you know, like, then we cross in there that you're using, like, you know, that's,
At this moment, had you received the order not to fraternise?
No, I can't remember being told then not to fraternise, like, was when we got up into Austria, it sounds like that, so it must have been just after that, like, you know, the order come through like that.
So you're moving forward, as you say, and what happened then?
We moved forward, across the border. I can remember crossing the border, but me and this other lad with a kind of flames, we were miles behind the carriers, like, we were breaking these trucks, whatever, these big tank pull on the back. We were breaking trucks, like, and he was passing me, I was passing him, that's the way it went, like, we must have been miles behind, you know, the.
This was the extra weight that the tanks.
And it was a new carrier, like, as well, like, new trucks, and we're having a kid pulling, shortening the truck, like, pulling links out of the truck, like, you know.
And were you trained to put those links, put links back in again? Yeah. How was that done?
Well, we had used to break the truck, or if it was break the truck and just, every so often there was pins through the truck, which, like, copper heads, which you could knock out, like, if not, like, we still had to use to knock the caps off the pins. That way, and take the two links out, like, and
put another one back in.
If it was like you thought it was too much of a length on it,
slack.
Leave it out, like.
But you were, it was part of your job to do this.
Oh, I would do that, man. doing that all the time.
Any other memories of that journey?
We passed through Udine on the, it must have been 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and we went up this track road. It's like a farm road, like, and just, I think it was just me. I had a broker, Lance Cobra, and I had another chap, in the back, I can remember going down this track road, and about 6 of these Yugoslav Slavs come from over the edge, stepped and stopped us, Of course, you didn't know what they were, but a bit panicky at first because you didn't know. You were worried about these Italy youth blokes, what wanted to carry on, and they had a special name, I don't know what the name was.
Werewolves or something, were they?
I was just surprised that there was these Yugoslavs scrounging for what they could get, they were wanting cigarettes and they were wanting, they were packed in the carrier, after that, they let us on our own way.
Were these partisans, Yugoslav partisans?
They were in their brown smocks, and with a belt tied in the middle of the right there, baggy trousers, and I can remember the forage caps there, the forage cap and had a red star in the middle. You knew they were Yugoslavs,
Were they friendly?
I wouldn't like to trust them, in fact, the next day or a couple of days later, there was a thing put out that they were in our territory, they were in our area, which they shouldn't have been. They were told to get back, and if they didn't get back, they wouldn't be knocked back, Well, I think it was Alexander that gave that thing out,
You'd reached the battalion, obviously.
I reached the battalion at maybe it's about an hour after, but we must have been driving the wire, because they were tired out, they were asleep, and I think I drove that far, that day, I couldn't sleep, then tracks that were terrible, when it comes here, maybe 50 to 60 miles, but when you've been in the carrier pulling and looking at the ground, I can remember joining up with the carriers in that particular field, then the next day the thing come out about Alexander giving this warning, either to these Yugoslavs, either drop back or
Did they go back?
They went back with I think that some of their transport was our horse-drawn transport they had, they wouldn't have sold
Can we look at the various groups that were milling around you at that time? You've mentioned the Hitler Youth, who got the nickname of werewolves because they were still acting.
I didn't actually see them, but I read about them, and when these...
But you had no experience of them?
Just that that particular night, six blokes jumped from over there.
They were the Yugoslavs at Turin,
We didn't know what the word Yugoslavs was.
What was the situation? You've mentioned Tito and the communist element. Now, the Croats were in your area as well, were they not?
Well...
The two opposing factions, actually.
They were all Yugoslavs, but they would, you couldn't, I don't think anybody, like any of us, like, could have said, well, they fought, like, they're fighting on outside, but, well, they were fighting on outside, they were partisans, but as regards, like, saying what they were just Yugoslavs, they was like, no, that's there.
Did you get involved with the sorting these out, and was Tito demanded that the Croats were handed back to him?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get involved in that?
The Croats was in opposition to him, didn't they?
Yeah, they were like
pro-German
element, I think.
No, I didn't say anything like that until later on up in Australia.
When you got further into Austria.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Well, what happened
I
next? So you reached the battalion, as you say. What were you doing in that area? Were you still on the move, or was something going on?
Still on the move, like, I think it was just like a stoplight, and then.
So where did you go to next?
And then, we moved for 2 or 3 days to a place called Blyberg in St. George, and they were on the border, like, I've looked at the map and they were like, I knew we were on the Yugoslav border, like, and when they come to think of it, I was wondering, like, what are these Yugoslavs, like, when we after, like, or Tito was after what he could get, like, for what he'd done, like, you know, for his war, like, you know, what anyway, like, that's where we were on the border, and that's sort of the version of one village, and then he's back. That's far it was for 2 or 3 days. You know, and that, before we moved into a settled area, which was Wukala.
On the border, this is where you know the battalion did get involved with the various refugees and so forth. What are your memories of that time?
Well, it's just like the refugees, like, and it wasn't so much the refugees, it was the thing that was like, when mingling, and I think we were more or less told not to fraternize with him, and, you know.
Was this the point where Croats were being rounded up by Tito's people?
I didn't say that. I didn't think there was friction between them with the Yugoslavs and the Croats, like, you know. I didn't know there was, like, anything between them, like.
Lot of horses were running around loose up there, were they?
The horses were further on, like, we didn't see. There was a lot of German transport, like, cars, you know, their little cars, like, everybody seemed to be, running around in cars, like, and, so there must have been, whether that was Taylor was not what had left them, or whether it was, the German army, or something, I don't know, like, but, there seemed to be a lot of transport, motorised transport. So I think it must have been the Germans who had, I think we were a little further on up into Brucke. That was the first really big place where we settled down as a battalion, like, yeah.
How had the Austrians received you?
Great, like, you know, they kept to themselves, like, where we were, like, there wasn't, I didn't say any, like, rejoicing, like, you know, like, they were all right, like, you know, we used to, in this Brucke, well, I mean, when we got to Brucke, BHQ, well, battalion headquarters was in Brucke, I think, and then we were moved, we went further up the road to a little, I don't know what it was. It could only be like a village of a hamlet, like, you know, like, it was spread around, like.
What were you doing there?
Well, when we go up there, like, we just, like, more or less, the town was, you know, though I was safe, like that there wasn't any later on, like when they got organised a bit, and that's where these that brigade of Russian
Cossacks. What are your memories of what went on with those people?
Well, I can remember them being in between our the Brooklyn and where we were, 2 or 3 miles up the road, like, and they seemed to be decent road of looks, like, you know, I was like singing and carrying on, and I think they were living off their horses, what they had, like, you know, must have got some funny smells, but what the, I think they must have been, somebody says, oh, it's horse pain, man, they live off their, they seem to be a decent set of growth, like, but what we say then, always, which would only be, you know, maybe a week.
Did they have women with them as families?
I didn't say any women. Same plenty of horses. Horses used to be galloping all over the place, like, you know, and I think they set them loose, like, I think they must have gotten the wind at all these horses. Beside themselves, that'd be like rounded up. I didn't know at first that they'd be rounded up, like, you know, and just thought, I thought they were like prisoners, German prisoners, like, you know, what had they been, they were waiting to be like repatriated, like in there, in like this area, like, if that's in them word come out, or they've been fighting part of the White Army or whatever they were, like, and they'll let them be rounded up and they'll be sent back there. That some of them had committed suicide, you know, things, like, and,
rather than go back.
Like,
did you get involved in rounding them up yourself?
No,
on the countryside?
No, I didn't. We didn't round them up, like, whether the companies rounded them up, I don't know. And they were on the door, but they seemed to be there 1 minute, and the next, one day, and then the next day they were gone, like, you know.
Do you know what happened to them?
I couldn't tell you. They were just the rumors that they'd been on the back of the Russians, or what had happened then. You know, like.
Must have been pretty bad, because, as you say, some of them committed suicide.
Yeah, I did. Tell the three of them committed suicide. Hung themselves, like, and when they let out the horses, well, I suppose I kept some of the horses, like, but we'd be on, like, a checkpoint, and then all of a sudden about 30 or 40 horses would come galloping up, like, you know, like, everybody said to have a horse as well, like, our blokes, like.
Did you get yourself a horse?
I got myself a horse. And then the order come through, there was that many blokes riding on these horses, and they were galloping away, and they were getting their legs broken, arms broken, and that the order come through, that they're likely to be handed in, and the battalion kept 20 horses, like, at Brooklyn, like. So,
what did they use them for?
What,
the horses?
Our horses.
Yeah, the battalion. Yeah, the battalions.
They were tied up all over the place, like, so that's for it. That's what it was for, like, you know, they were to jump on their backs and away, like, and of course, when they got started galloping, they couldn't stop them. And I heard that I went on this horse course later on, like, that the mouths were that hard for pulling stuff. You know, they used them for pulling transport, like, carts, and that the mouths were that hard that you couldn't stop them, like, I suppose their own men, like, they explained in cavalrymen, and they're like, you know, like, oh, those were just sort of just had to jump on their box. And anyway, like, when we were 2 miles up the road, this thing come, like, that they kept 20 horses as a ride to school, like. And anybody wanted to volunteer, put their name down. And sure enough, I put my name down, and this lad from Durham, this Lance Gorman, to finish, he was called up for some reason. So I finished down there in Brooklyn on my own, with cutting my hair, like. I went on this this course, like, after about 4 days. Oh, I said, I approached Captain Minear, but that wizard, I think, had a lot to do with the horses, but was Captain Minear what had this, I approached Captain Minear that evening, like, and dropped some courage, like, in the I wake up and I says, oh, I says, hey, I says, this isn't for me, I guess, I says, I can't, well, he says, give it a try, he says, this is a cost a lot of money for these courses, like, you know, on Silver Street, like, so, man, no, I says, well, he says, give it another couple of days, yeah, like, I says, no, I says, I can't, I says, I just can't, I'm scared stiff of them, like, you know, to finish, like, he said, well, fair enough, you can go back, like.
Were you checking civilians and people who were moving around the district?
We're checking a few. We had like a bit of a checkpoint in Brooklyn, like. Just checking, but they were just like odds and ends, like. People who had lived there, they'd built the way. And they were just in bus, like, you know, after.
What was happening to the SS members of the German army at this point in your area?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know what happened to them, but
did you
would have been probably rounded up.
Did you get involved in rounding them up and searching for them?
Just like if anybody in uniform would come through what was drifting back into the village, like. We just have to search them, like, and,
prisoners of war, were they camped nearby? Were you guarding prisoners of war?
No, we had a few prisoners of war attached to the battalion in Brooklyn. I mean, we had two or three prisoners of war which was attached to their horse. Of course, like, you know, what they used to muck out, like. We didn't muck out the same as they mucked out, like, you know. In fact, like, when I was on that course there for the prisoner of war, I used to have my horse saddled up on the morning, like, really, I didn't have milk today. I just used to, like, which you weren't supposed, you were supposed to do all that yourself, like. But I used to give him two or three cigarettes, like, and that, I can remember there was a landsman off the road, and I like, not like RSM or something, Sergeant Major, like, he used to keep his eye on the other two or three, like,
What other jobs were the prisoners doing that were attached to the battalion?
Well, we didn't have many, like, I think of them down in Brooklyn, like, attached to the, to the stables, like.
Did you get the opportunity to talk to them? The ones that were
just
near you?
Just past the time, yeah, in the morning, like, you know.
Did they say that the police, the war was over?
Oh, I don't know, please, man. We used to see, like, ones coming back, what were living in the villages and what were living around in that area, like, you know. It didn't you quite set with roast like these Austrians, like, you know.
Did they like the Germans, the Austrians? Did they speak of the Germans themselves?
Oh, I think they did. I think they were, I can remember moving when they moved further up, like, being in shared a canteen and it was just we moved from Brooklyn further up into Austria, like, and